Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview. My name is Louis Mendes. Joining me here in the studio at the Valley as we gear up for the final game of the regular season against Rochdale is Mr. Tom Welling. How are you doing, Tom?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
Have you had a good few days as we... I know you're excited about the playoffs.
I mean, yeah, we'll come on to that in a minute. I haven't got a clue what's going on. But yeah, I'm all right, yeah.
And Nathan there desperately trying to explain what the permutations are for the playoffs to Tom. How you doing, Nathan? You all right?
Yeah, not bad.
Oh, your mic's gone again. So there you go. Get on Tom's mic, please. There we go.
Yeah, and I'm just showing Tom my season ticket price.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, Nathan's going to show off about it. He somehow got some sort of weird discount as well from the season tickets. But we'll talk about that later. On tonight's big match preview, we are going to discuss the permutations of the playoffs. The fixture release the fixture dates have been released.
If we can't even say it, that's a good sign.
There's a few permutations which we'll spend the next hour and a half explaining, and then we will try and work out what's going on there. We're also going to try and work out what's going on with Lee Bowyer's contract. We're going to hear that from himself. We're going to talk about some comments from Roland Duchatelet this week. How do you say again? Didn't he mention terrorism, which is always a good look? So we'll talk about that, and then of course we'll hear from Josh Cullen, got his first Addicts goal at Gillingham last Saturday, and then we'll turn our attention to Saturday's home game with Rochdale, the final game of the regular season before we take on the playoffs. Now, Sunderland and Portsmouth both absolutely bottled it during the week, lads. So we now know that Luton Town and Barnsley are the two teams that are automatically promoted. So congratulations to them, blah, 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 whatever, don't care. But we know pretty much three out of the four teams now that are going to be in the playoffs. It's going to be us, it's going to be Portsmouth, it's going to be Sunderland, it's going to be then one out of Doncaster or Peterborough. Now, you'll all be excited to know that finally we can tell you what the permutations are for the fixtures. Tom, do you want to explain them?
No.
Tom doesn't understand them. I've made a chart, which makes it a lot easier for me. But basically, third versus sixth will play on Saturday and then Thursday. Fourth versus fifth will play on Sunday and then the Friday. So Sunday the 12th, Friday the 17th. Now, the only way there can be a difference here is if Sunderland finish fifth. Because if Sunderland finish fifth and therefore are due to be at home on the Sunday, they can't play at home on the Sunday because there's an event in Sunderland, some sort of running event like a marathon or a 10K or something. So they can't play on Sunday. So if Sunderland finish fifth, then the tyres will be switched, in which case the team that finishes third and sixth will play on the Sunday the 12th and then Friday the 17th, and the team that finished fourth and fifth will play Saturday the 11th and Thursday the 16th. That's very clear, isn't it, Nathan?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, where are we? What day is it?
All right, so to explain it how it is now, so if everyone finishes where they are now, which is Portsmouth in third, Sunderland in fourth, Charlton in fifth, and then Donny or Posh in sixth, Charlton will be at home to Sunderland on Sunday the 12th of May at 12:15, just after lunchtime, and then away to Sunderland on Friday the 17th of May. Okay, so that's how it is now. If Charlton were to finish third, we'd be at home second, so we'd be away to either Doncaster or Peterborough on Saturday the 11th of May at 7:30 kickoff, then at home excuse me on the Thursday 7:45 kickoff. That's how it's going to go, basically. I've put a chart out there. I don't think I'm going to go through all of the permutations because we will be here all night. But it's nice to know roughly where we stand now. And it's nice to think that as soon as it comes to Saturday after the game, don't forget 5:30 kickoff on Saturday, that we'll be able to start booking up trains, planes and automobiles.
Yeah, I can't wait. I think what we'll probably do is just book a flight to Sunderland, Pompey. I don't know if you can fly to Peterborough, might do it. Might get helicopter or something. So we do. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think we all want to know what we're going to do because obviously I don't think the the travel prices are going to be going down anytime soon. So as soon as that full-time whistle goes on in Saturday evening, I think there'll be a lot of fans obviously trying to scramble around to try and get hotels and stuff. But yeah, no, it's good. It's exciting. We're doing all right, and we've just got to just see where it takes us come Saturday evening.
Is it starting to become a bit more real now, Tom? My pre-playoff nerves started to kick in this afternoon, which is for the first, because I found myself on a Sunderland forum talking about, and they were all talking about how nervous they are about potentially facing Charlton. And for starters, that really got me going, because I was like, oh wow, they really are on the back foot after the week that them and Portsmouth have had. I mean, teams are going to start to fear us, and it's interesting to see. I mean, it probably counts for nothing. But certainly all these permutations as well coming out now has really got me thinking about these playoffs.
I mean, the permutations have stopped me thinking about the playoffs because it's just confused me. But yeah, on Tuesday night, I think I started to get the nerves then because, as you just said, a lot of people are nervous about playing us, and that makes me nervous because we're not the underdogs anymore. When you're the underdogs, you go in, like last year, I kind of thought, we managed to scrape in and we got there, like, deservedly so, but it was a bit last minute. And then you think, well, what will be. It is what it is, as Bowyer would say. But this year, you've got Sunderland, who are just toilet. You've got Pompey, who don't want to have to play us. You've got Donny, who are on the edge of falling out of the playoffs. So you're looking at it and you're thinking, any team that gets us is going to be scared. And I don't know, like, odds-wise, whether we would be favourites, but you've got to back yourselves and think, actually, we could be the team that could go on and win this. And then that expectancy then makes me nervous. So yeah, since Tuesday night when those two teams lost and showed how bad they are at the minute, it's starting to make me nervous now. And after Saturday, when I actually understand the playoffs again and we've just got a team on 2 days, then I'll be very, very nervous.
So the fixtures on Saturday, of course, Charlton are at home to Rochdale, Portsmouth are at home to Accrington Stanley, Sunderland are away to Southend, a game that Southend will need a result from likely to in order to try and stay up. Peterborough are at home to Burton, and Doncaster at home to Coventry. So it'd be interesting to see who ends up in those playoff places. Just a reminder, Portsmouth are currently 2 points ahead of us, and with a slightly better goal difference, a better goal difference of 3 goals. So, I mean, if we win 2-0 and Portsmouth lose by 1-0, we'll be on the same goal difference, and it'll come down to goals scored, which I'd have to look at. So there is a possibility we could finish third. There's a possibility we could finish fifth. It really is up for grabs, but at least now we know, we have an idea of roughly where we'll finish. Now, Lee Bowyer was of course asked about the upcoming playoff campaign, and he said that he believes it's going to be Portsmouth who will finish in third position.
Yeah, I think they will finish third. I went to their game the other night, crazy game. They should have won it, really. I won't go into detail, but they had a goal disallowed for offside, and that they shouldn't really have been in that situation. They should have won the game. But Peterborough came out on top, and obviously they're pushing for the last place in the playoffs. So, but yeah, whoever we get, it's going to be difficult. Going to be the four sides that deserve to be in the playoffs, but like I've said before, I believe we can beat anybody, and I think we've shown that this season. We just have to concentrate on what we're doing and make sure that we're ready.
As a player, you experienced Champions League playoffs. Is there an art to managing playoffs?
No. My job would be just to try and, because the emotion would be high, obviously. The adrenaline would be pumping, so my job would be to try and keep them as level-headed as possible and to try and treat it just as a normal game, because it is, at the end of the day, it's 90 minutes of football. But emotions obviously get involved. You can't deny that. So, for me, it's trying to play the most natural game that we normally play on a Saturday. So that would be my job, to try and make sure that we can do that.
Charlton going to the playoffs in a confident frame of mind, with 9 wins out of 12. And that win at Gillingham last week was your first at Priestfield since 1980. Not to mention six clean sheets in eight games. That must sharpen your edge.
Yeah, and again, because we've had a full squad near enough the last month or so, and the show. Because we've been able to rotate when we've needed to, and the lads deserve all the credit, you know, they've been outstanding. And but yeah, like I said, we're in a good place, and when we've got a full squad, we're a very, very, very good team. And I believe that what we have is something unique, and I said that from day one. Nothing's changed. We've all worked hard, and we've got halfway where we want to be.
So there we go, there's Lee Bowyer chatting about the possible permutations of the playoffs. He believes that Portsmouth will finish third. He also says that, you know, obviously every team in those playoffs deserves to be there. But as we were saying just before that, I mean, surely the mentality of whoever of those two teams that have not qualified for automatic promotion due to their results recently, because Portsmouth blew it on Tuesday, as did Sunderland. I mean, Barnsley obviously put themselves in pole position anyway, but it must be in your head that you failed that situation when you had a chance to do it, because realistically we were always chasing. And you know, that one result at Oxford, it was disappointing, but it's not like we blew it because Barnsley ahead of us had done enough anyway. So do you think that will be a psychological issue for the likes of Sunderland and Portsmouth?
I don't know. I mean, because we could opt back to the Oxford game, but then you could do many points in a season where, you know, if we beat Southend at home and stuff like that, we could always do that. But yeah, I think they'll be obviously disappointed that they haven't taken it to the last game of the season where they could probably get autos. But at the same time, playoff games are different because there's more at stake. They're a lot more cagier affairs, and I think to an extent, form goes out the window. And I'd rather be the sort of underdog than be the one that everyone... Like, I was listening to TalkSport the other day and they were saying that they saw us as one of the favourites, even with Portsmouth losing. So, which, to be fair, we probably are, but I'd rather go in there slight underdog.
The bookies have us as third favourites, probably purely because we, as it stands, we're likely to finish fifth, so third in the playoff table. Mm. So, yeah, it's hard to say whether people will see us as underdogs. I mean, if you look, we're on the same points as Sunderland at the moment now after the same amount of games as well. So we've had just as good a season as Sunderland, but we didn't spend £4 million on a striker midway through it. Interesting as well, a point that, I mean, if we do win on Saturday, that will take us up to 88 points. And I worked out that four out of the last 10 seasons, that would have been enough for automatic promotion. So not most seasons, but almost half of the last 10 years, that would have been good enough for automatic promotion. It shows the quality of it, that even if we can get 88 points and still finish fifth as well, it shows that there's been five teams this year that really have excelled compared to the rest of the division.
Yeah, and there's a lot of dross in this league, a lot of bad teams, but those teams that are up at the top deserve to be there, and they're, as you say, there's some distance ahead. You look at the gap just from us down to Doncaster and Portsmouth, Doncaster and Peterborough, it's a big gap, and that speaks for itself. We're all up there. We deserve to be up there. Obviously, only three of us are actually going to go up. I just had a look at the odds, and Portsmouth Sunderland on Skybet are joint favourites, 7-4, and then we're 4-1. Donny 5-1. I think Peterborough like 20-1 or something. So, yeah, they are backing those teams, and I'm sure a lot of people will be backing them just because of the size of the clubs. But as Nafe says, I think the worry for me is that we're not underdogs now. And, you know, the two wins against Portsmouth, the draw here against Sunderland and the fact we were unlucky to lose there, we still lost there, but that doesn't count for anything when it comes to the playoffs. They're two games, they're different, they're more cagey, as Nafe says. It's you almost write form out of the window and just have to see, and it's, can our players handle that? And we'll have to wait and see.
We're such a different side now to the team we were at Sunderland on the opening day, but I think it's fair to say we've evolved as a side quite often throughout the season. So the first, I think, five or six games, we only won one of our first five or six games. Then we started to bring in the Billicks and the Cullens on loan, and we started to go on a nice run, and then we were all about this brilliant partnership between Lyle Taylor and of course Carlin Grant. Then Carlin left and we had this wobble where Taylor was out on suspension as well. Then we started playing again. Then I'd say over the last 6 weeks we've improved massively. Mm. Igor Fetakeli's played a massive part in that. Lyle Taylor's really back in his stride again now. We're a different team to who we were in January. Mm. We've evolved so much, and it's going to be fascinating to see how we take on... I think we're a better team now than, obviously, without Carlin, of course, but than we were when we played Sunderland at the Valley, and we battered them in that second half.
Yeah, of course, and I think the difference between... obviously people say I'm being biased, but I mean, out of the four teams that are in there at the moment, you've got Pompey and Sunderland who play quite a lot of width. We play quite narrow. I think we play the better football personally, and then Donny are quite direct. So yeah, it's going to be definitely a better team where we were off-season Sunderland, where we were down to the bare bones, and obviously January. So I think if we get a good result on Saturday and go into the games in confidence and not nervous. I think that, like Tom said, I think that's the worry I have is if we'll turn up on the big games, especially if we do get Sunderland, which is probably the most likely, I think. But going up there in front of 40,000-45,000, it's going to be a tricky game for the young ones, and hopefully we come out. But if we go there second, we need to have a better show than we did against Shrewsbury at home last year.
There we go. Right. So just to clarify, just to reiterate here we go again. Another 20 minutes. So it's the permutations are. So here are two important points. We cannot play Sunderland away on the Thursday night. On Thursday the 16th of May, there's no way that we will end up at Sunderland, which is good for us because that would mean 2 days off work for most people, because you'd have to get up there, stay over and then come back on the Friday as well. We can't be at home on Saturday the 11th of May. No fixture falls that way. We can't be away in Sunderland on Sunday the 12th of May. If we do play Sunderland away on Saturday the 11th of May, which is possible, it's going to be tricky in terms of getting hotels and stuff, because there'll be a 7:30 in the evening kickoff. The rugby's going on in Newcastle that night as well. The Heineken, or whatever the rugby final is between Leinster and Surrey. So there's loads of people going up from London. There's loads of people coming across from Ireland as well. They've all booked hotels. So just be aware of that. As soon as everything's confirmed on Saturday, I'd make sure you start booking your hotel, start booking your train tickets and stuff, because you're going to have to act quickly to get the best price. Now, someone who hasn't acted quickly over the last few weeks is, of course, Roland Duchatelet. Lee Bowyer's contract is coming up, as we well know, and we're now 2 days from the end of the regular season. Last week, he was moaning that we were... 9-10 days from the end of the regular season, and he hadn't had his contract sorted. Well, we're now 2 days from the end of the regular season, and he still hasn't had it sorted.
Not really. I had a positive conversation end of last week, but then seemed to have got a bit stuck at the moment, and that's where we are. So nothing's changed. I haven't signed. But like I said to you before, that's not my biggest worry, and it still isn't. I believe and I'm hopeful that we can come to an agreement. What I'm asking for is fair. I'm not a greedy person. So it's what I think that I've earned. So I'm sure that we'll get there in the end. So my concentration is, the only time I ever think about the contract is when you mention it. So that's the least of my worries, and my full focus is just get promotion, and that won't change from now to the end of the season, whether I sign a contract or not.
So it sounds as though you could go into the playoffs with your future uncertain.
Yeah. But I started the season with my future uncertain, so I like to think I'm used to it. But it is what it is. I can't control that. I can control what happens Saturday and just keep working hard. That's all I'll do, keep doing, like I have done from day one. Keep working hard and trying to win games, and that's what I'm paid to do, and that's what I'll keep doing.
And on your contract situation, mate, you say you got stuck. What are you stuck on?
Just negotiations. That's the situation we are at the moment. And it just disappoints me. Like I said last week, And I say it again, it disappoints me that we're 2 days away from the last game of the season and it's not been resolved. It disappoints me, you know, because I think me and all the staff have worked hard, and to be left this late, it's disappointing.
Did you get closer now? You're kind of back far away again, or
no? I thought we was moving forward, and we are moving forward, but I was just hoping that it would get done before this game. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen now. So, but I'm sure we'll get there. But I was just hoping it would have been done before the end of the season. So going to the playoffs, and everybody knows the situation, everybody's happy. So, but it ain't, and then we'll just keep working out. It just don't affect the football side of things. This is irrelevant. Even if I'm not here next season, nothing changes. Charlton will still be here. So, but hopefully it doesn't come to that.
Is it all get sorted before the playoffs then, or do you not know, do you not think so?
Maybe before the first ball's kicked, but it won't be done before the end of the season, because that's in 2 days' time, and I can't see it happening that quick now.
Yeah. And I think you're going to be manager of the month tomorrow, or you're nominated for it anyway. There's a lot of Charlton fans out there that are a bit worried that, you know, they might lose you.
Again, that's nothing. I can't control that. Obviously, I'm grateful for the fans, and they know how much I've respected them all season, and they've respected us as a side and the staff. And they're not silly. They see how hard we've worked and how far we've come in a short space of time. So, but we've got minimum 3 games to go. And nothing's going to change for me or the players. We'll give 100% until our season's finished.
There we go, Lee Bowyer there. Talking about his contract situation, which is still yet to be resolved. First time I've heard him mention, even if it was, I hope it won't come to that, but the possibility of him not being here next season. He does still say that he'll get it sorted. I'm sure it'll get sorted, but he registers once again his disappointment that, you know, we're now 2 days on Thursday from the end of the regular season and it hasn't been sorted.
When does his contract officially expire?
Probably end of June.
Yeah. Let's hope, in between the playoffs. Yeah. In between the playoff first leg and second leg.
Like Nave says, it's probably not until the end of June, but the whole thing's just ridiculous, isn't it? And like, I know we've said it a lot of times, but every week that goes past, it's just a bit more and more stupid. And the fact he's even, as we've said before, having to try and sort this himself, they should have just given him one. It should have been 6 months ago and it should have been sorted, but fact they wrote up what they did and now it's just dragging on.
In fairness, they did give him a contract 6 months ago as well. It's the one that's coming to an end now.
Yeah, true.
Because they only do things by halves here, don't they? He said he's not asking for the world here. He thinks he's asking for something fairly acceptable, and clearly he's done a good job. Clearly we also know the way that football works. I dare say he's asking for a rise from the one he had that was basically a temporary contract at the start of the season. I dare say, you know, clearly he wasn't happy with the suggestion of an incentivised contract at the first came through. The fact that he's hit a bit of a stumbling block, it seems to say, that they've come to a bit of a stop at the moment. I mean, that really worries me. I mean, I know he sounds comfortable about it, but you hear phrases like that being bandied around by the manager himself, and we heard some, you know, a lot of questioning there from, I think it was the fella from the Evening Standard today. There's questions to be answered, and it's nothing's ever simple around here, is it? And do you need this? I mean Bowyer says it won't affect the playing side, but do you need this hanging over you when you're about to head into the playoffs again?
Yeah, obviously it's not ideal, but
I think that should be our show motto, really. Not ideal,
but yeah, I don't think it'll affect the players. I think the players will be focused and obviously winning 2 games of football and then having a chance to go to Wembley and obviously get us into the Championship. But I think the thing that strikes me, I think with negotiations, you know, there's going to be a lot of to and fro that you probably don't see a lot. But the striking thing for me was when obviously he came out and said that it was a contract that he's never really seen before. It was a bit different to what he's used to in football. So Obviously, everyone can make their own, you know, assumptions on what that means. But we've gone over it enough times. We shouldn't be in this position. And it's just a bit frustrating not knowing how far away it is. You know, it might just be a couple of clauses, or is it something massive that's just something, I don't know, like they pay him in potatoes or something, I don't know. But it's just random, isn't it? But like I said, I don't think it's going to affect the players. I don't think it'll affect Bose and Jacko or anything they do. But yeah, obviously we just want it to get over the line, because Bose can go wherever he wants now.
Yeah, I mean, Bayer talking about being a bit stuck at the moment. I mean, the only thing is, I think I've always got the impression that Roland can be a little bit stubborn. I don't know if that's unfair or if that is 100% unfair. Quite clearly what's happened throughout the entire time he's been here. So if Roland's asking Bayer to accept something that Bayer's saying, well, actually, I'd like a bit more than that, I think I've earned it. I can imagine Roland going, well, fine, off you pop then. I'm going to get in the next one. I don't really care. I'm trying to sell the club, apparently, so I'll just get in any old idiot. I'm not putting you in the hot seat there, Tom, but I mean, do you think you've got a chance now I've just said that?
I was stood in the dugout the other night and I did think it felt right. It did feel right. But yeah, maybe I'll get onto Roland and see what he thinks. I don't know what I'll have to think about my contract offer. But yeah, that's the thing. The longer it goes on, the more I can see Boya just going, oh, I'm sick of this. Because I don't think there are going to be hundreds of offers flooding in. But you look at the job he's done, particularly if we get promoted, there are going to be people who want him. And I know he says he wants to stay, and I know they're working on a contract. But I don't know at what point you go, do you know what? No, you've had your chance and you've not done it. And, you know, loyalties aside, he's a man who is going to want a job. And now he's got the management bug, he's going to want to keep that going. And if Roland's not prepared to offer him a contract, what does that say about him? It essentially says he's expendable, and if that's how he's made to feel, maybe he will make the move.
Well, the supporters trust took the step this week of releasing a statement themselves, urging the Charlton club owner Roland du Châtelet to conclude contract arrangements with Lee Bayer and his coaching staff as a matter of priority and urgency. Also encouraging fans to visit the Charlton Athletic Supporters Trust stall behind the North Stand at the Valley before the Rochdale game on Saturday, when they will be able to meet Roland and offer him their opinions on the current situation. Now, of course, when they say meet Roland, they mean the big balloon they've got of Roland, not actual Roland, because imagine that. That would just be amazing.
Him at the ground. Eh?
Yeah, I mean, Glove Pup's pointed out that Luton still need a manager. As far as I know, I think they've actually made a decision now that hasn't been publicised, but something Jones, Graham Jones, I think, is the one that's going to be linked. So I believe that's who's got the Luton job. But I'm sure there'll be plenty of other jobs out there. Vital Charlton saying, I hope Bowyer wins Manager of the Month and we smash Rochdale to break the curse. That would be the moment of the bloody season. We've set your barriers low there, Vital Charlton. I think the moment of the season will be when we win at Wembley, not when we beat Rochdale. But yeah, Bowyer, of course, up for the Manager of the Month, fifth time of the this season, which is incredible. Lyle Taylor, of course, up for Player of the Month as well, which is all falling nicely. All the curses are just aligning at once, aren't they? So Lyle Taylor will get Player of the Month and break his leg. Lee Bowyer will get Manager of the Month and then sign for QPR before the playoffs, and that'll be that. So that'll be sorted. Right, Richard Justham's asking what's happened to Chris Maxwell. He wasn't on the bench at Gillingham because he was ill. He's still here. Presumably, if that illness has passed, he'll be involved on Saturday on the bench against Rochdale. But yeah, I mean, he's quite forgettable, poor old Maxwell, because he hasn't been involved at all. And then on the Charlton Live forum, Rossman92 says, holding firm that we'll somehow play Peterborough in the playoffs. The Charlton v Peterborough final would be the last thing that anyone expected. Going up against one of our bogey teams would be lovely. And then Mendonca and Asda says, hi Louis, hope you've been taking the strepsils and you've got your voice back for the final countdown. And then yeah, I have, thanks Mendonca and Asda. I'll be okay. Right, just before we go to an ad break, just one more thing just popped up during the week. Again, Roland, he loves it, doesn't he? Just wants to actually say, really. I mean, Roland's got a head full of ideas, and sometimes he accidentally opens his mouth and some of those ideas just roll out onto the pages of local Belgian newspapers and stuff like that. Now, of course, on Sunday's show, when Terry was hosting, he mentioned about the Charlton Athletic or the card members, the Charlton Athletic, was Charlton against Roland du Châtelet people, went to visit the Belgian embassy just to have their say on how they believe that Roland du Châtelet is perhaps not doing the Belgians the best of service with his actions over here in London, talking about how this may lead to further protests over in Belgium. Had a very nice sit-down meeting by the sounds of it with someone at the Belgian embassy there. Roland Duchatelet has described this as a form of soft terrorism. Everything is going well now. The club is playing well. There are no complaints now, and those types... And then this must be a translation error. It says the monkey are going to hang out at the Belgian embassy in London to come and threaten me. Too ridiculous for words, but they should not be worried. I am going to sell the club. Only this needs its time. Selling a club is not as simple as buying a club. Roland replies, well, surely that doesn't make sense because someone's buying it at the same time as someone's selling it. But anyway, soft terrorism, Nathan, your view on that?
Harsh. No, but saying that, the monkey comment, you say his translation, he probably said that as well, to be fair, knowing him. But you can't call that soft terrorism. I mean, when you look at all of the stuff that's going around the world in terms of terrorism, and then you say a couple of Charlton fans saying that we want you out of our club, and you call that form of terrorism.
There was
quite
probably
laughable.
Tea and Jaffa cakes in this meeting. I mean, that is not terrorism, soft or otherwise. I mean, Roland really does have a way with words. And as you can imagine, a lot of people were a little bit taken aback by that choice of phrase. And that's not a not a translation issue, because when you see it in the original language, it effectively is soft terrorism with an E on the end of it. So unless terrorism means administration in Flemish or whatever language it was in, I mean, that was a bizarre choice of words. He mentions about the takeover taking as long as it is taking. I mean, he keeps saying, oh, they don't need to worry, I am going to sell the club. I mean, I actually spoke to someone over in Belgium today that gives me absolutely no idea or no inkling that we're any nearer to the club being sold than it has been at any other point. I mean, I actually feel a little bit depressed about the whole situation, because we are on the pitch, we're on the edge of doing something special, but off it, we're in the same situation we've been in for 4 years now.
Yeah, sale's not happening. Not at the moment. And he can say all he wants. He's been saying he's going to sell it for well over a year, so he might as well just come out with some other random stuff like he did for the rest of that statement. I don't know. The thing is to concentrate on the stuff on the pitch, because like you say, we're on the verge of doing something good there. And just ignore him, really. Pretend he doesn't exist. That's the way I get through the day. Just forget about him until something ridiculous comes up. Yeah. Laugh at him and then ignore him again.
Just wonder where Al Qaeda are going to be having the next training camp, don't they? You could just imagine Rick Everett in like a balaclava or something. Such a bizarre situation. Right, let's have a little break here on Charlton Live. When we come back, we're going to hear from Josh Cullen, who got his first Addicts goal at Gillingham last Saturday.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Takes towards the near post. Good delivery. Flicks on by Grant. No goal. Yes! And now, Taylor got the final touch. I think he's going to claim it.
Absolutely.
Bolted his header, deflected back off the post. And Lyle Taylor got a little flick. And Charlton have the lead after 25 minutes.
There we go. Welcome back to Charlton Live. This is a big match preview ahead of Saturday's home game with Rochdale. We're going to preview the clash with the Dale shortly. It's not really too much riding on it, because Dale are actually safe now. I think they had a couple of good results over the last couple of weeks. Obviously, we know we're in the playoffs where we end up, as has already been very well explained. It's still a bit of a lottery, but we don't know exactly where we're going to end up. But there isn't really too much on the game. But yeah, we will preview that coming up. We should now let you know at this point that Sunday, of course, is the Player of the Year dinner. So therefore, there is no live Charlton live show on Sunday because we'll be at the Player of the Year dinner recording my favourite podcast of the season. It's the one where we get so many players and the manager as well, of course, to come and do interviews with us. It'll be a great evening at the Valley here, always well organised by Gene and Ian and the fans forum. So really looking forward to it. But just be aware, there's no live show on Sunday evening. The podcast will. I normally get out about 3 o'clock in the morning after the dinner, so we'll be out there ready for you on Monday morning, and of course have some exciting interviews, and then we'll be back here next Thursday for a live show previewing our first leg of the playoffs, hopefully, depending on what day it is, because we've all lost track.
Part of the country, really.
Yeah, despite my excellent graph that I've been reading out. Right, Josh Cullen scored his first Addicts goal on the weekend. The one he did get away at Doncaster was taken away from him because it clearly wasn't his goal. It was an own goal, but yeah, he got his first one against Gillingham on Saturday. So we spoke to him after the game. Interesting as well, actually, to find out what he's thinking about his future. He goes back to West Ham at the end of the year. I was trying to work out if there'd be any scope for perhaps another loan, but it doesn't sound too promising on that front. But he talks about his goal, talks about his future, and of course talks about the fact he was pleased that Charlton were able to wrestle away 3 points from Priestfield on Saturday.
We always know it's going to be a tough game, tough place to come. Obviously, I think it was their last home game, so they were always going to want to go out, finish the season getting a good result, especially it being a derby as well. So we knew it was going to be tough, and we had to earn the right to play and win our battle. I think we've done that, and then obviously our quality come out and showed.
With the conditions the way they were, blustery conditions, Gillingham physical outfit, it was always going to be you had to play football to get the better of.
Yeah, exactly. I think when you play against teams that, like you said, are quite physical, you can't get dragged into their game and try and play them at their game, because that's not our strength. So we've come here and like I said, competed with that and won our battles, won our tackles, but then implemented our style of play on the game and yeah, that's what's earned us 3 points.
Must be pleasing, both goals when they came, both started and finished by midfield players. We've got to talk about Joe's first. Lovely finish from a great move.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, great finish. We work hard in training, obviously trying to chip in. And Joe's been fantastic all season. So delighted for him. Like you said, great finish. He's got that ability to do that. So yeah, no surprise.
Well, a carbon copy for the second one almost. You were on hand to finish. You'd had a chance just before that. Didn't quite connect. For your first goal. Did you think this isn't going to come? But on hand for the same. What went through your mind just as the ball came to you?
I just think more instinctive, really, just to get a good connection and just guide it past the keeper. I think that's something I've tried to bring into my game. Keep getting in the box and trying to add goals to my game. It's been frustrating at times this season. Things haven't quite dropped to me, or I haven't quite been able to get the finish that I'd have liked. But obviously, the hard work's come off, and I've got one today. So hopefully now I can kick on and another one or two over the next few games would be nice.
Well, I think they've taken the first goal that you scored away from you. They're definitely not taking this one.
No, there's no deflection today. So yeah, I don't think that can be taken away from me.
Didn't score again on the, in the game, but pretty much controlled it from then on. Midfield really in control, back three as it started. Yeah. Never really felt threatened because they controlled everything that was thrown at them. Darren Prattley, somebody new alongside you for most of the game, played well. It's a great performance.
Yeah, Pratt was brilliant. That's what you get from Pratt. Like you said, someone new, probably hasn't played as much as he would have liked. But he's come in today and put in a fantastic shift, and that shows the strength of the squad we've got. And the quality that can be brought into the team if need be. So, yeah, he was magnificent today. You get everything from practice, he gives you 110%. He was brilliant.
We've been in the playoffs for a couple of weeks now, but there's been no drop-off in performance. Everybody's still battling for the win. Has the playoffs been in the players' mind, or are you just putting it to one side while you take each game?
It's in our mind. I think if I come in and said it's not in our mind at all, then I'd be lying. But we know that to go into them games, we've got to go into it with good momentum. We had obviously a disappointing result away at Oxford, but now we've bounced back. scored 6 goals in 2 games, 2 clean sheets, and got 2 very good wins. So, we want to go into them playoff games with momentum and be the informed side going into them. And then when they come, we'll be more than ready.
Home for the final proper league game of the season next week. It'd be nice to finish that on a high to reward the fans and packed out this away end again today.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The fans have been magnificent all season. I'm in a way they've travelled in their numbers, made loads of noise and made a lot of away games feel like home games. And then at home they've backed us in their numbers and got right behind us. So, yeah, these performances where we dig in and come to tough places and win are for them as much as they are for us. We thank them, and hopefully, like you said, we can finish it off next week with a good regular season final game, and get a good performance and 3 points in front of our own fans.
Well done on the win today. Superb on grabbing the goal. Hopefully, it's the first of many in the next few.
Yep, thank you very much.
With the playoffs coming up, there's probably still a chance of finishing fourth, which would mean the second leg would be at home. As players, is that something that you worry about, having the second leg at home?
We haven't really thought about that too much. I think we're going to try and win next week until we end up, and whoever we get, we're confident, home or away, that we can go and win games, and whoever we get, we'll be confident going into it and looking forward to it.
The results against the other teams in the top 6 have been good. I think we've beaten most of them apart from Sunderland, I think. So, I mean, do you have a preference of all the ones that are out there, which ones we'd face?
No preference. I mean, when it comes to the playoffs, it's 2 games, and whoever's going to be the best team over the 2 games. And we're confident that we can be the best team, whoever we play against. So whoever we get, then bring them on.
And obviously with your own future, a lot of people think about that at this stage of the season. You'll be back at West Ham next year. I mean, will you be trying to make sure that you can get a first team place there, or do you think you'll be looking to go on loan again? Have you thought about that yet?
No, I've always said that the main focus is to go back to West Ham and, like you said, get a first team place there. So I'll go back. They want me back to go and do pre-season and try and make my sort of time there successful and get in the first team and warrant that place. So yeah, that's what I'm looking to do, and hopefully that'll happen.
I feel like the experience that you've got this season with Charlton has been important for you.
Yeah, I think it's important for every player, playing games and improving and developing yourself. You only get that through playing games. So to come out and play in a team with great players and just fighting to get promotion, a massive club, has been brilliant for me, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and hopefully I can finish my time off here with promotion.
So there we go, Josh Cullen there, desperate to finish off his time here at the Valley with promotion to the Championship. I mean, he's been a real excellent player for us this season, hasn't he? You forget that he was out for so long with that shoulder injury, but by the time he came back, it was like he was never missing, really, Tom.
Yeah, he's been very good. Been really impressed with him. What was frustrating with that interview was he was pretty much mind made up. I'm back off to West Ham.
Yeah.
Cheers, see you later. I'll try and get you promoted. But no, he's been great. And I was on comms at Doncaster away when we interviewed him after that, when his goal that wasn't his goal. And he just comes across a really likeable bloke as well. And despite the fact he wants to go to West Ham and prove himself there, which I completely understand, while he's been here, he's given 100%. And that's all you can ask for from a loanee. And I think you look back at some of the loanees we've had over the Roland years, and Alvestad aside, I think they've often not really cared about the club. And the but the loanees this year, they really do. You look at him, you look at Bilic. What? It's genuine. But yeah, he's been excellent for us, and he can clearly do it in the Championship. So.
Yeah, you mentioned the West Ham comments already. It's one of those ones where I was trying to work out how I was going to word the question, because you don't want to turn around and say, because I don't believe this either, but I don't want to make the question sound like, well, clearly you're not going to get in the West Ham's first team, so are you going to come back? But so I tried to find out. But I mean, will he get in the West Ham first team? And they've got Declan Rice in that midfield. Mm-hmm. They've got a decent midfield options, West Ham, but he is a good player, and you know, he's played 3 times in the Premier League already, cameo appearances off the bench. He has made first team appearances for West Ham, so I mean, he clearly backs himself, and I think this year he's had in League One, I mean, minimum next season, if he doesn't play for West Ham, he's got to be in the Championship, because that's a step up, and hopefully that can be with us. But I mean, do you think he'll go back into that West Ham team and start getting performances in?
Well, I think he's improved. I think his call up to Ireland have probably impress West Ham. And I mean, I'm trying to think of their midfielder at the moment, and the only sort of similar sort of player they got is Mark Noble. He's not one of those powerhouses, or you know, like Felipe Anderson. So I think he could probably be in and around the squad. Will he break the 11? I don't know. He might get a handful of games, but I mean, he does need to be playing. So like, I think they'll probably ideally, same with Christian, really. I don't think they'd want to loan out to a League One team. And I think it was Sunday we said, me and Tel were saying it, that it is quite vital for us to keep the likes of Christian and obviously Josh, that we'd have to be at a higher level. And you can understandably agree from West Ham's point of view as well that he's had a great season, but he needs to push on a bit now, and then maybe the season after, then he can. Because, you know, they're still young. But I can't see him breaking into it. Yeah. But look what happened with Coquelin when he was here, and then he went and played against Man City for Arsenal as man of the match. So anything can happen.
I can tell my favourite anecdote of all time about Coquelin when because he spent his time on loan with us, didn't he? And he was there for like half a season, and he went back and started running the Arsenal midfield. And after his first game, I asked him, because he came off the bench, I asked him if he thought he could break into Charlton's starting 11. And by the end of the season, he was smashing it in the Premier League for Arsenal. Good to see Josh Cullen on the score sheet as well. I mean, Bowie mentioned it in his post-match on Saturday. You know, we need our midfielders to score a bit more often now. Aribo, of course, has got 8 already. He's the one who's really been pitching in. But, you know, great to see Cullen do so as well, because, you know, if Taylor has an off day in a playoff semi-final, which could be away to Sunderland or at home or on a Saturday or a Sunday, who knows?
Not me.
Then we need someone else to pitch in with a goal.
Yeah, and ever since Grant's left, that was our big worry, was that we were going to have to be reliant on Lyle. And obviously we have been to a certain extent. You look at his goal record. But those other players have weighed in, and we said we wanted more from Reeves, and he got a couple through the season but hasn't really had enough game time to do it. Obviously, Igor's started to get back amongst the goals. I know he plays up front, but he'd been on a bit of a goal drought as well. Johnny Williams, we've seen none from, which is a shame. But
his goal drought was like 2.5 years, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. But yeah, and now we've started to see it from the midfield. And you're right, Aribo has obviously led that. Jake, unfortunately, was amongst the goals prior to his injury. So it's not like we've never had goals from midfield. Fosu was doing it last year, but this year they've been harder to come by. But you know, Cullen, like I say, Williams started to get in those positions against Gillingham, had a couple of chances, probably should have scored. And you're right, we're going to need them, because who knows what's going to happen with Lyle. You would expect, given the form this year, that he'll, you know, people will fancy him to score a couple of goals through the playoffs, but we're going to need other people in and around the area as well to try and get on the end of anything.
Right, let's have a quick break, and then we'll be back here looking ahead to the home game with Rochdale on Saturday afternoon.
Switch across to left-hand side, and Perrington's a good one. Bielik looks okay for the time being. Perrington looking to try and look to take on Thompson. Instead goes back inside to Cullen. Needs a little bit of support. He turns, works a bit of spacer across. Cullen, ball into the box, finds Aribo. Aribo! Aribo!
Yeah!
One, Joe Aribo! Joe Aribo with a lovely turn inside the penalty area. His shot went across the face of goal, and the Gilvery didn't even go for any areas past him and into the back of the net, and Charlton just before half time had the lead.
Welcome back. It's Charlton Live here, the big match preview coming live to you on your Thursday evening. Don't forget, as I mentioned, no live show on Sunday evening. We'll be at the Player of the Year dinner, sorting out a podcast for you. That'll be out overnight, Sunday to Monday, so something to look forward to. Now, normally at this time, we have a journalist from the opposition team, but Rochdale is the only team in League One that I've never been able to find someone who covers them. It's bizarre. Do they have paper? Do they have newspapers? I don't know. But basically, no one covers them, or no one wants to admit that they cover them for some reason. So we haven't got one. We tried a fan once, but it didn't really work because it didn't. I hope they're tuned in. So we're just going to do it ourselves. So Rochdale FC.
Northern accents.
Yeah, hang on. I'm just reading the Wikipedia page. Rochdale Association Football Club is a professional football club based in the town of Rochdale, Greater Manchester, England. The club currently competes in League One, the third tier of the English League. I'm not going to do this forever. Basically, Dale had been in trouble, hadn't they, until recently, but they are officially safe going into the last day. They've had a decent little run, actually. They've won four at their last five games. The only game they lost in that time was a 4-1 away at Portsmouth. All the other games, they've won 1-0 away at Accrington, home to Wickham, away at Bristol Rovers, then at home to Southend. So they found a way under their caretaker manager, Brian Barry Murphy, who, if you look at his Wikipedia page, looks a little bit like Michael McIntyre. That's some more insight for you. That they found a way to stop conceding goals, because they have conceded the most amount of goals in League One. They've conceded an impressive 83 in 45 games, but obviously they've really tightened up in the last five or six games and done enough to be in League One. Of course, Keith Hill got sacked earlier on in the season, which was a bit of a shock. Mr. Rochdale, I call him, not to his face, because I've never spoke to him. But
not because you're scared of him.
No, not because I'm scared of him. I just never spoke to him. It'd be bizarre if I turned up to his house and went, "All right, Mr. Rochdale, are you getting on?" He'd be like, that really hurt me because I've been sacked. But
could have got him to do the preview.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, clearly he's not very, doesn't know much enough about Rochdale because he got sacked. But he had been there for years and years. But Rochdale are staying up, so hooray for them.
Yeah, we went up there last year. It's a really nice, I like the ground. It's quite like sort of old school. I saw one of the best goals I've ever seen there as well, Jordan Bataga, last year.
The one where he ran through, hit the post in an open
come
goal.
Come off his blimmin' nose or something. Brilliant, really brilliant. And when the Steffi Mavadidi thing happened, and then me and Tom nearly got run over at the end. But
it was a great day.
But yeah, no, I actually like Rochdale. A bit weird at the end because we were in the playoffs, weren't we? And then they came over, and then they stayed up by that guy who just come back from that.
Joe Thompson, yeah. Last season's retired.
And then you had a couple of Rochdale fans crying in front of the stand, which was a bit bizarre. But yeah, no, you know, it's nice old school ground.
Proper club, Rochdale.
And to be fair, I mean, they need an award themselves for conceded 80-odd goals and still staying up. That's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, most,
fair.
Yeah, 83. So the only team that's come close is Scunthorpe, who've conceded 80.
That's not surprising.
Four of which were at the Valley quite recently. It's just that run in the last few weeks. It's always been so tight down there in the relegation half, as it was called for a while there, that you only needed a couple of results to pull themselves clear. Some interesting games going to be on that final day away from us, of course, in terms of relegation. You've got Scunthorpe playing Plymouth. They're both in the relegation zone. So basically, if either side draws, I mean, if it's a draw, Scunthorpe will almost certainly be down. I think they will be down. Plymouth might just escape with a draw if they get lucky, if Southend lose at home to Sunderland. But yeah, that Scunthorpe Plymouth game is huge. But yeah, Rochdale no longer involved in that. In fact, with those wins, they've actually climbed up to 14th, which just shows how tight it has been. 14th in, you imagine finishing 14th and conceding 83 goals. You think that makes them really good at going forward, wouldn't you? But no, they've only scored 54. So there you go. That's our Rochdale preview. Saved me about £2 on ringing someone up north there, haven't I? Let's have a look ahead to it from a Charlton point of view. Natalie Beyer was asked about the injury situation as well, but he's also asked if he's worrying about the playoff situation just yet, or is he only thinking about Rochdale on Saturday?
No. Like I said before, every game's important. They all have different importances. Saturday, every game we go out to play, we want to win. That doesn't change. Obviously, we want to keep this good run that we've been on going, and we're all in a good place. And the most important thing is that we keep that mentality, that winning mentality, because it's a good habit to be in. There will be changes again. Obviously, we was out without Lowell, Pat, Christian last weekend due to injuries. But I feel we need to give them time this weekend because of sharpness. I don't want them going too long. Like, if we wait for the playoffs, then they wouldn't have played for like 2-3 weeks. My worries is that they lose a bit of sharpness, so that they'll be involved on Saturday for sure. The lads that came in last weekend was outstanding, and it topped them up for minutes as well, because you just don't know what's around the corner. Injuries, suspensions, they're things you can't control. So just trying to make sure that everybody gets some time and put out the right side to win the game.
Many in the treatment room these days?
Johnny Williams. Johnny Williams is in there. Got injured last week against Gillingham. Twisted his ankle, so he'd be out this weekend. But yeah, that's the only one, I think.
So there we go, Lee Bayer giving us the latest on the injury update. Johnny Williams going to be out, twisted his ankle. Now, it doesn't really go into it in the press conference there, but does a twisted ankle heal? Does that heal in a week or does that heal in a few weeks?
I suppose that it depends how bad it is. I know that's stating the obvious, but yeah, I mean, usually you can slightly twist it in a week or so. But
Williams, I imagine about 6 months.
Yeah, but I'm not that fussed anyway because you can always play Prattley in the number 10 for
Stop
me.
It.
So,
Your views on
I'll
that?
I'll play in the number 10 yeah. before he does.
Not a fan of Darren Prattley playing in the number 10 role.
No, not a fan of Darren Prattley, to be honest. Not him as a bloke. I'm sure he's lovely, but yeah, I don't see what he offers the side that Josh Cullen and Bowyer and
Bowyer is he playing?
No, he commented on it, didn't he? Last week, said he was good.
He was good.
Yeah.
We're heated Darren Prattley debate in the studio there. So Johnny Williams is going to be missing on Saturday. Bayer did say he's going to make changes again, but the way you were saying it was actually we're changing it back the other way because, of course, we missed Lyle Taylor, we missed Patrick Bauer, the likes of them last week with minor injuries. And so he's going to be bringing them back in to give them the game time that they want. Now, of course, you know, we saw last year there was a couple of changes for Rochdale again on the final day away. Some might try and argue you could lose momentum if you do that, and Bayer obviously doesn't want to take that chance this time around.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think I said on Sunday that I think we should play our strongest team. I mean, Johnny Williams is a prime example. He could have been rested against Gillingham and then he twists his ankle in training. So I think, and especially with Lyle as well, I think if he doesn't play Saturday, that's 2 weeks. It'll be, 2 weeks that he hasn't played. And yeah, you could lose momentum and he might lose a bit of match sharpness. It's not saying he's not a fit lad, of course he is, but I think we should start the strongest team that we have available, get that momentum, get their minutes under their belts, keep them fit, keep them hungry, and keep them fighting for their positions, because there's still a lot of changes that still can be made. Like, you know, we were joking about, obviously, Prattley, but it might mean that he might have to come in, and then, you know, Billick might pick up an injury or Rebo goes. So there's loads of sort of permutations that can happen. So, yeah, I think we'll start the strongest. And then I'd do three subs, 70 minutes, bring Joe, Lyle and maybe Christian off or something like that.
I was going to say, I mean, if Rochdale come and sit behind the ball, is looking at their last few results is probably what I'm expecting and start to put up a bit more of a rearguard action than their 83 goals conceded suggests. And we get to 70 minutes and it's 0-0. Is it really worth pushing yourselves to the extent that you're going to tie yourselves out just to get the 1-0 win over Rochdale on the final day of the season?
I was about to say, I don't know how much they'll be keeping an eye on the other scores as well, because if Pompey and Sunderland are both like 3-0 up or something and we're 0-0, you think, right, let's bring them off, let's rest them, we know where we're going to finish. If they're still hanging in the balance or either of them are losing and it's 0-0, you think, why don't we go for it? Why don't we try and finish third? So I guess that's going to play a part as well. But yeah, I think all being well, if we're a couple of goals up, you just bring those big players off and you rest them. And like Nath says, you throw in someone like a Prattley or a Morgan or a Lapsley or someone who we might have to rely on in the playoffs, but probably wouldn't make the starting 11 if everyone was fit, because even maybe Jake again, because we might need him during the playoffs. So you want to try and give some of those players minutes if you can, but I think you'd only do that provided you roughly know where you're going to be finishing by that stage of the game.
Now, I mean, we've asked this question before. The danger, or is it a danger to have to play the second leg away? Would you rather have it at home? I mean, Lee Bowyer did point out in press day today, look at Barcelona last night against Liverpool. They beat the Scousers 3-0. And then it doesn't matter that they're away second leg at all, does it?
No, exactly. I mean, personally, I'd rather not go to a 45,000 screaming Mackems on a second leg, personally. But yeah, it's true. If you win the first leg comfortably, if we have the home leg first and we win 2-0, the onus is on the home side to attack us, and I think that'll suit us more. So this is obviously, there's so many different angles you can look at it. But I just think just go out the game and try and win it as best as you can, or how you're going to win it, and then that's the way you're going to do it. Because otherwise, you could put all these sort of scenarios in place. Like, oh, we'd rather be away first, you know, like I'm doing. But then you don't even know, you know, that you might go 1-0 up in 30 seconds or so. You know, anything can change in a matter of an instant. So, but I think both games for all four teams are going to be cagey. So I don't think it's going to be a 3-0 or anything. But. But yeah, we just have to wait and see. But yeah. I'd rather the home leg second, of course. I mean, you would, yeah. Just in case you know, if you win it, you can celebrate properly, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I do think there'll be one hell of a celebration if we do play Sunderland away in the second leg, and then we all stay up. So that would be the Friday night, according to my excellent spreadsheet here. And then we'd all be staying up in Newcastle on the Friday night. And I dare say, if anyone goes out in a Championship, they won't have to buy a beer that evening. Nah, so yeah, something to look forward to. So if we get the news early on that Sunderland and Portsmouth are both 5-0 up after 10 seconds, is that it? I mean, that was similar happened at Rochdale last year. It was Plymouth who were at Gillingham. They needed to win like 5 or 6-0 to have any chance of catching us, and they were 2 or 3-0 down quite early on, actually. So then we just completely took our foot off the gas. We even chucked on Jacko for his farewell appearance as well, because we knew we had the luxury to do that. If we are finding out from away games that both teams are out of sight, then that is it. Just doesn't matter what happens.
Yeah, and as I said, I think you bring players off to rest them, but you don't, you know, we're not going to be throwing on a Jacko type player, although I don't think there is one around now.
Jacko?
Yeah,
get him back out.
If we bring him on after his marathon. But I think you're looking, as I said earlier, you're looking at the fringe players who might have to be involved in those playoff games, just to give them some minutes. Like Nath said earlier as well, to keep everybody fresh, keep everybody on their toes. You know, you bring Lyle off, you bring Aribo off for definite, just to rest them and protect them. Maybe Bielik or Cullen, if one of them's playing, you bring them off. And then you, as I say, probably with the midfield, you throw maybe a Jake, maybe a Prattley on, and you give them some minutes so that they're still fresh if they're needed in the playoffs.
There we go. Right, we've run out of time on this evening's big match preview. Just a very quick prediction. One word.
2-0.
2-0.
4-0.
4-0. There we go. Both presumably to Charlton there. Right, that's Tom and Nathan on the big match preview. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Much cheers, love.
I've been Louis Mendes. This has been Charlton Live, the big match preview. Thank you for listening. Don't forget, we won't be back here on Sunday evening with a live show, because we're at the Play of the Year dinner, where we'll be getting you plenty of excellent content in terms of interviews and stuff. So that'll be out in your podcast feeds on by Monday morning. Thanks for listening. I've been Louis Mendes. Let's hope that Charlton can finish third and possibly play Sunday at Sunderland, or Sunderland on Thursday, Sunday. Who knows? Doesn't matter. See you later.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.